Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to do this. My guest, next guest, Joe McNally, is on the line. But I want to take Dave. Dave, he wants to talk about what we were talking about the last hour, and that was with Alan Borsig. We were talking about public education and what's going on. Dave, give you a shot. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Earl.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking the call. Really quickly, you know, one of the biggest challenges with school kids today is actually a lot of them, there's a lot of truancy. And if they're not in school, I mean, they're not going to learn. And unfortunately, I think it was one of your previous callers mentioned, you know, the families do have to obviously be more accountable for their kids. Granted, you know, maybe they can't read well, whatever, but at the very least, they should be telling their kids that they have to go to school. Because if they don't, then it's a disaster. So that's all I wanted to add.
David, I would agree with you. But you know, when mom is off to work and she's working and there is no buffer, you know, kids are going to do what they do, and they don't understand that this is impacting their future. I've seen it happen.
Right.
You know, thank you very much for the call. Yeah. Let's go to Joe McNally. A good friend, national award-winning newspaper columnist and longtime political commentator of Milwaukee radio and television, and my good friend. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great. How are you, Earl?
I'm doing fine, Joe. Before we brought you on, a guy that you know well, Alan Borsig.
Absolutely, good friend.
Was on the air, and we were talking about what's happening, and I guess because who is more involved or concerned about education than you and your wife, so we can kind of add on a little bit to that conversation. And so I was talking with Alan about what is taking place, Joe, with the educational systems in this society, and the fact that we just don't seem to be concerned enough about what's taking place.
Well, and I think the intelligent, educated people in America do know exactly what's taking place. And I'm really glad that you were talking to Alan about that and putting this subject out where it belongs to, because you and I talk all the time about the insanity that has taken over the Republican Party today. And I seriously believe that the attack on education, the attack on public libraries and school libraries, and trying to prevent children from reading books, for God's sake. You know, I grew up in a small town in Indiana, and you know, our education system, when I look back on it, part of it was the times, of course. We didn't learn a lot of good, comprehensive American history. You and I, neither one of us did early in
That's
our
correct.
Schools. You know, good God, we were learning fairy tales about, you know, George Washington chopping down a cherry tree and he could never tell a lie. I mean, that was seriously put to us.
You mean they taught
as American history?
They taught you that too.
And we all learned that, and we certainly did not have in our schools any kind of education about slavery during when Africans were kidnapped from their country and brought to this country and sold as property, and and that was, in fact, how African Americans came to be. And that is such a plague on this country, and continues to be, because we have never gotten over treating African Americans as some sort of subspecies that could be treated that way, and it could be tortured and murdered and raped, you know, by a white supremacist nation. You cannot teach American history today in schools without teaching about that. And the Republican Party of the United States has decided that they can actually stand up in public and be respectable citizens running for the highest office in the country, arguing that we should whitewash American history and not teach about the bad things that happened in our history. We should only teach, you know, that our founding fathers were great heroes and always did the right thing. Actually, they did some great things. Thomas Jefferson wrote the best sentence that has ever been written in the English language to say that the whole idea of democracy is that all men, and they said all men because they meant all men. They weren't talking about women, and they weren't talking about men who weren't white. But they actually thought that everyone was created equal under God. They believed firmly in God, and that as a result, there were inalienable rights that government could not interfere with. To pursue your life choices and to pursue democracy in America, in an America in which all men and women would be treated equally. That is the most beautiful idea that this country was founded on, and we ought to be teaching about that idea and teaching how close we come to that idea and how far we are from that idea. Because that is the whole idea behind democracy, and Republicans no longer support democracy. They don't believe in that. They are preaching hatred for people who aren't like them, and that is just just an obscene idea. And then to attack public libraries because children can go into them and read and learn about anything they want to read and learn about. And that is also the idea of democracy. And I cannot believe that a political party that wants to be elected nationally in this country could argue against that.
You know, Joel, in all the years I've known you, you've always been the kind of person, as much as I would beat up Republicans and conservatives, you would always give me balance and always say, hey, Earl, that's not everybody. There are good conservatives, there are good Republicans. And this is over the years that we've had all these conversations. But no, Joe, I've seen a little chink in your armor here lately. Because is it because?
Well, I would disagree with you because I believe that I've always believed what you're now talking about.
Okay.
And here's what I've always believed about Republicans. In the Republican Party, and it's true today as it was true all the time, all those years we were arguing about it. there are plenty of well-educated, intelligent, decent Republicans who know better than what their party is doing right now. But here's where I've always agreed with you. It doesn't matter if they don't act on it. It doesn't matter if they don't act on it. The fact that Mitch McConnell, for instance, I would argue is intelligent enough to know that Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis, by the way, the two leading voices who are all over the polls saying that they're the two most likely Republicans to be nominated for the presidential nomination for 2024. Mitch McConnell knows that those are two of the most dangerous, ignorant people that the Republican Party could nominate. But it doesn't matter if he won't say so and if he won't take action to make sure that that doesn't happen. I don't care if Republicans know better or not. I don't care if they know that Donald Trump is dangerous and have to say out loud that they support him because they want to attract his voters, because his voters are some of the most dangerous people in America right now. We saw that on January 6, 2021. We saw that. We saw them attack the United States Congress, threaten to hang the Vice President of the United States, try to murder the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, because Republicans for decades had spewed hatred towards her as if she were some sort of dangerous communist, socialist, who knows what else, when all she happened to be was a very effective leader of the House of Representatives, probably the most effective and best House Speaker that has existed in the history of this country.
So, Joel, I got to get you.
Republicans hated that.
I got to get you to stick. I got to get you to stick a pin in. We've got to go to a break. And clearly, Joel, you haven't watched Tucker Carlson's adaptation of that.
I gotta go to a break.
844-967-2789. Tom, I see you. We'll be right back.
We both deserve each other's love. How am I doing? You really want to know? Oh, I guess I'm doing fine. It's been so long now, but it seems like it was only yesterday. Ain't it funny? It's so funny how time can slip right on away.
All
I'm
right,
gonna ask you a question. Is it all right? How's your new love?
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. I hate to cut that off. My guest is award-winning journalist Joel McNally. He's a national award-winning newspaper columnist and longtime political commentator of Milwaukee radio and television. And Joel, I bet you remember George Hinton. And
ain't it
funny how time slips away?
But you got to credit Willie Nelson with that song.
Oh, he wrote it.
Yeah.
All right. It's a beautiful song. but anyway.
Yeah.
Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, thank you. You say what?
Errol, I had to call back because I know if everyone had a magic wand, you know, we'd have all perfect parents and everyone would be perfect and everyone would have time to read to their kid and all of these different things. I'm sorry, that's not the reality-based world. And second, I would say that every policy that Republicans have put out there or fought against have been things that tear down our society, that then we need to have Medicare for all, or child care for all, or a good public education for all. Because just as an example, Barack Obama had where birth control was set up so women could get birth control, all women could get birth control through the Obamacare. Oh my God, the Republicans were flipping out like crazy. But yet, they also don't want for people to have any help when they have children. So, and then they don't want people to terminate pregnancies. I mean, come on. The deck is so stacked against these young people. Yes, I would love it if everyone was as enlightened, you know, as Al and the great professor that calls in.
Yeah, Cassandra.
But they're living in a dream world. They're living in a dream world. If you want to try to make incentives, if you want to try to make it where people are making at least $25 an hour and actually have paid off time like they do in other countries, I would ask them to go watch Where to Invade Next by Michael Moore, where he goes to all the different countries and shows the differences between our countries and other countries. And the thing is, the people in the other countries actually took the ideas originally from America.
Hey, Tom.
So Republicans are people that are Republicans in leadership, I should say, but the people that vote for them, you know, Dave wants for there to parenting, everything like that. How can there be parenting when people can't even find the time to eat?
Hey, Tom, we got to go, man. Thank you very much for the call. Joe, you want to respond?
Yeah. The most interesting thing I think that Tom mentioned was just the inherent conflict of trying does go back to the Constitution, as all these arguments with Republicans do about freedom of speech and freedom of religion and freedom to live your life without government interference. One of the most baffling things to me has always been that anyone who opposes abortion can also oppose contraception. That does not make sense. It is just simply not a logical conclusion. Unless you want every woman in America who ever gets pregnant to give birth, to force every woman in America who ever gets pregnant, no matter how many times they get pregnant, to give birth, unless that's what you want, and because you're going to outlaw abortion, you have to support contraception. you simply do. I mean, that is the only logical conclusion. Of course, we have people on our Supreme Court right now, three of whom were appointed by Donald Trump, but also one of the most radical, who is still
Clarence
on the
Thomas.
Court,
Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thomas, who, in fact, when he finally got his dream of voting with other people who wanted to impose their religion on America, their version of religion. They wanted to impose their version of religion because they, I think, honestly believe that abortion is murder, and you simply have to oppose murder. Well, that is a very narrow view of what abortion is, or what contraception is, because as soon as Clarence Thomas voted against allowing women in America to have the right to terminate a pregnancy, to have the right over their own body and the right over their own religious beliefs as to what they should do in their lives and do with their lives, He wanted to impose his version of religion on all women.
So Joe, unfortunately, we're at the bottom of the hour. We'll give you a chance when we come back. Joe McNally, we'll be right back.
It's funny how time slips away.
Show, as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. My guest is Joe McNally. He is a national award-winning newspaper columnist and longtime political commentator of Milwaukee radio and television. You know, Joe, so where this divide that exists in this country now is almost insurmountable. You know, there's always been a divide between Democrats and Republicans, and I would see you on television and you would be debating other conservative commentators, and you guys used to be able to have, you know, dialogue. What happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
Hatred. I don't think the argument is between liberal and conservative anymore. I think the argument is between haters and people who don't believe in pure hatred against the people you disagree with. And we know who did that. The Republican Party today reflects Donald Trump. Donald Trump did not invent racism. He did not invent hating women. He did not invent hating immigrants. But he wrote that for everything it was worth. He wrote it and attracted people to the Republican Party who are basically violent white supremacists. We saw them in action. We saw them try to destroy this country. We saw them try to destroy an election. We saw them try to overthrow the election of President Biden by the largest voting turnout in American history. His four-year, one-term presidency, which was the most destructive presidency we had ever witnessed, one that led to millions of deaths because of his failure to control a pandemic, or even to warn the American people after he had been informed how contagious and how deadly the coronavirus was that was sweeping the world, that was a worldwide pandemic. We now know because Bob Woodward, a great Pulitzer Prize-winning Washington newspaper reporter from a very young age,
who's followed many presidents,
that managed to overthrow the corrupt presidency of Richard Nixon, and was still reporting on the corrupt presidency of Donald Trump. Donald Trump told Bob Woodward how contagious the coronavirus was and how deadly it was going to be. At the same time, he was telling America it was going to magically end any day now. And it was simply a lie because he didn't want it to affect his possible reelection. That was the only reason to do that. He said he didn't want to panic the American people. Well, you know what? If millions of people are going to die in a pandemic, they need to know about it. And they need to be informed that they need to protect themselves. But the president of the United States failed to do that. And that was the most deadly crime of his presidency. At the same time, he was busy committing a lot of other crimes because he's a corrupt individual that used the presidency to build his own fortune and cut his own taxes. That's the perfect way to describe it. And the American people threw him out of office by 8 million votes, with the largest voting turnout in history because of that, as well they should have, because he was also, it turned out, an opponent of American democracy, and he tried to stay in office after he lost the election by lying immediately. Actually, he started lying about losing the presidency before he lost the presidency. He said, if I lose the presidency, it will be because, you know, the Democrats stole it because they were corrupt. No, he was corrupt. and we now all know that. And as a matter of fact, the American people know that. And if he is nominated again, and the Republican Party might well nominate him again. If they don't nominate him, it looks like right now they would nominate someone just like him. Ron DeSantis is the favorite choice right now because he is just as hateful as Donald Trump. He hates all the same people. He hates liberals. He hates women. He hates vaccines that save lives all over Florida. He is the governor of the state of Florida, which has the largest senior citizen population in America, and he is encouraging them not to take vaccines.
You know, Joe, Joe, we're talking about your fellow countrymen hating other countrymen.
Yes.
For what? Well, we've got got differences of opinion. Well, we've always had differences of opinion. Since when did it get to the point that you hate somebody on that?
Well, you know what? The hate has always been there. The hate has always been bubbling under the surface. You and I, you know, we went through the civil rights movement.
Right.
And we remember when a majority in this country supported the civil rights movement. We also know that there was a lot of hate going on at that time. We don't whitewash the real history of that movement, because while today Dr. Martin Luther King, is held up as a heroic figure and as someone that
it's safe to say that after his death
they murdered him,
right?
They murdered him, and the hatred existed then, and it existed of all the people that supported that movement. They put their lives on the line, they put their lives at risk to pass the Voting Rights Act.
Joe,
pass the Civil Rights Act.
Let's bring some callers on. Let's go to CJ.
Sure. Love to.
All right, CJ.
Thanks for taking my call, Earl. This gentleman sure throws the word hate and racist around pretty easily. Why don't you ask the Florida population how much I'm not even going to use the word. They love DeSantis. He loves the veterans. He is one. So the mere fact that this guy is so ignorant to throw words of hate and racist around should be ashamed of himself. Facts. I'd like some facts on his examples of, the racist terms that he easily throws. DeSantis is loved in Florida a lot more than this hateful president we have, who we are less safe less prosperous. And look at, he's taken us into a world war because of his ignorance and weakness of 13 soldiers that died in Afghanistan.
I can't wait to let Joe respond to you. President. CJ, I can't wait to let Joe respond
this
to you.
This guy is shameful.
Hang on, Joe, you want to respond to CJ?
I respond to CJ every time I come on your program, Earl.
Oh, okay. And, so you've heard of him, yeah.
And I know what he's going to say. But I do use the word hate about hate. I mean, I don't think we should not call out hate. I really don't. When you had a president of the United States who told members of Congress, elected members of Congress, who were black and brown people, they needed to go back where they came from, which is a racist term. We've always heard that as a racist argument, that all black and brown people should go back where they came from. Well, of course, most of those members of Congress were born in America. They're African Americans. But there actually is one who was a refugee from Somalia, we all should be very proud that a member of Congress who was a refugee to this country and a black woman besides was elected to Congress in America. We should not tell her to go back where she came from. That's hate. I mean, he's right. I will call out hate when I hear it. I really do believe that Republican Party has to call out hatred. You know, that's what the Democratic Party did. Let me tell you what the Democratic Party did during the Civil Rights Movement. They drove out of their party white supremacists. When Earl and I were growing up, the South was called the Solid South. And it was the Solid South because it was the Solid Democratic South. The Democratic Party it dominated all elections in the South. The Democratic Party had the South in its pocket for the presidential election, every presidential election. Now, what changed that was Lyndon Johnson, who had been a Southern senator. He was a Southern senator representing Texas. His mentors in the Democratic Party were some of the worst racists in the Democratic Party. All those Southern senators who blocked the Civil Rights Bill and they didn't just block the Civil Rights Bill, they blocked the anti-lynching bill. There were repeatedly, year after year, the United States Senate would vote down, making it illegal to lynch black people because the Democratic Party was dominated by white racists from the South. And that's, I don't think
that's 100% true, Joe.
Racist.
That's 100% true. Pardon? That's 100%
Absolutely.
True.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it was Lyndon Johnson wanted to be considered a great president. And he did something that no one ever expected him to do. No one ever expected him to become president, first of all, because he could not have been elected because he was one of those Southern senators that nationwide could not win a presidential election. But John F. Kennedy, who was a liberal, and did support civil rights, named Lyndon Johnson as his vice president in order to attract some votes from the South because Kennedy was a young, attractive liberal that the South hated. And in order to get votes in the South, which had always solidly supported Democrats, he named Lyndon Johnson his vice president. He didn't listen to a word that Lyndon Johnson said to him. His the college educated Harvard, Yale best and the brightest that were in Kennedy's administration. They made fun of Lyndon Johnson as the vice president, and they just kept him in a corner somewhere. And even though he was a brilliant strategist in the Senate, he'd been the majority leader of the Senate, they didn't pay any attention to anything he told them. They made fun of him. They called him Little Abner.
So Joe, you hear the music. We'll be right back on the other side. Steve, we'll come to you. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Oh, the 70s. I'm going to stay in the 70s a little longer right here. You're a silhouette of splendor. I love to remember.
Oh, all right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Joe McNally, award-winning national newspaper columnist and longtime political commentator of Milwaukee radio and television. Let's go to Stephen from Wisconsin Rapids. Good morning, Stephen. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
All right, brother. Hey, I really appreciate you taking my call. You know, with all due respect, I'm tired of listening to this educated idiot you have as a host. He's not in touch with reality as we know it, as we the people know it. And he would, if he met danger or combat, he would piss on himself and cut and run if he couldn't call 911.
So wait a minute, what are you?
I'm a Trump supporter.
Okay, all right.
I'm a Trump supporter. I'm a Trump supporter to the max. And my veteran.
Okay.
One thing Biden has done, not only did he steal the election from we the people, we know that. He's been violating the Constitution of the United States of America ever since he got
into
office.
Hold on, Stephen, hold on. You said that he stole the election. There's very few, if any, other Republicans who agree with you and Donald Trump on that.
Yeah, well, that's because the majority of Republicans are just as corrupted as the Democrats. They don't honor the Constitution. Let me give you an example of what Biden did. He pulled out of Afghanistan. This is one thing you don't do to our military servicemen. You don't leave any wounded or dead behind. That's the way it is. That's an unwritten law, written in blood. Biden pulled out of Afghanistan, leaving our weapons, our tanks, our tanks,
so we know,
the whole nine yards.
So,
but he left our American people, soldiers.
Sir, we know about all of that. Hey, Joel, you want to respond?
No, this person doesn't want to discuss anything. Yeah, he just called
And see, Joel, this is what we're faced with, right? We're faced with people who.
Yeah, but let me just cheer you up a little.
All right.
The last couple of calls, when you go through this every morning, you deserve. I want to make you feel better about this. Those two people, they don't represent the Republican Party either. They really don't. Right now, I think one of the most important, it's interesting that he brought up the military, because I think there is a very important split going on in the Republican Party right now that I actually think is probably the healthiest thing that is happening to this party ever since Donald Trump took it over. And that is that the war in Ukraine is now starting to divide the Republican Party in a way that I really do think is healthy. And I'll tell you what prompted it. What prompted it was Ron DeSantis, who, the last caller, or maybe it was CJ, I can't even remember, talked about how great Ron DeSantis was. People don't know very much about Ron DeSantis yet, but when they do, they're going to be appalled. Ron DeSantis recently joined Donald Trump and Tucker Carlson. You mentioned Tucker earlier. I think those three people, Donald Trump, Tucker Carlson, and Ron DeSantis, are probably the most dangerous people in the Republican Party right now. And they have now all agreed on one thing. They've agreed to support Vladimir Putin in the war against Ukraine. You know, Donald Trump did it from the beginning. Donald Trump, you know, has supported Vladimir Putin from the time he became president, mainly because Vladimir Putin helped him become president. You know, he spread a lot of propaganda among the right wing in this country, Vladimir Putin did, about because he hated Hillary Clinton, he spread a lot of lies that a lot of the right wing in America bought into. Tucker Carlson did that very early. He was a big supporter of Vladimir Putin. And then throughout his presidency, Donald Trump supported Vladimir Putin. We know he supported Putin against the CIA and the intelligence community. And he tried to make Vladimir Putin part of democratic organizations worldwide. He supported him joining the G7, which was an organization of worldwide democracies that were opposed to Vladimir Putin, mainly for his invasion of Ukraine the first time. And, you know, Tucker Carlson got now Ron DeSantis to agree with Putin as well. You know, did you know that Tucker Carlson's commentaries on Fox News are broadcast on Vladimir Putin's state television in Russia?
No,
He broadcasts Tucker Carlson's attacks on the Democratic Party. Putin does on state television, and he runs Russian subtitles under. Tucker Carlson's commentaries because he wants the Russian people to hear them. So, you know, those three people, it's no surprise that they support Putin, but the leadership of the Republican Party actually doesn't. I mentioned Mitch McConnell before. I don't want to sound like a big Mitch McConnell fan because I'm not. He destroyed the Supreme Court by putting Trump's three nominees on it, and keeping one of Barack Obama's nominees off of it. He's the one who's responsible for destroying abortion rights in America, Mitch McConnell. But the one thing he's right about is he says that American conservatives should be supporting Ukraine because if you allow Russia and Vladimir Putin to destroy the democracy in Ukraine, the next thing he will try to destroy is the democracy in Poland and other parts of Europe.
So, Joe,
Ukraine is just the beginning.
So, Joe, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Bill, Curtis, and others will be right back. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back.
And I say, that's my sweet baby. That's my sweet baby, 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 baby. Oh, and it would always make me sit right down and concentrate on you.